Welcome to our program today. Thank you so much for listening to this audio edition of God Bless America magazine. This is the October 2024 edition, and with me on the phone today are Pastor Tom Alvis and Evangelist Byron Fox. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gordon.
Always a pleasure to be with you, sir.
And Brother Fox, I believe what we're going to talk about in this session is Brother Alvis's article on prayer and fasting. And so take it away, brother, and let's talk about that article.
Yes, the title of this article is Praying and Fasting for a Needy Nation. And Pastor Alvis, you've done a superb job of writing this article, and Brother Gordon, you did a great job editing all of the articles. But Pastor Alvis, I would like you to elaborate a bit on this article, Praying and Fasting for a Needy Nation. You give some examples of prayer and fasting and how to pray and fast. Would you just give some opening comments on your thoughts about this?
Sure. You know, I think the starting place, Brother Byron, is, are we a needy nation? And, you know, if we are honest, when we look at the events taking place in our nation, when we look at the scripture, I'm thinking especially of 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul talks about the perilous times, and you read that description. I'm thinking about Philippians chapter 2, where he talks about a crooked and perverse nation. And we are supposed to shine in that setting. I believe with all my heart, God has called us to a time such as this, as we read about in the book of Esther. And God has always had a remnant. As you read the history of Israel, as you read the history of America and other nations around the world at different times in history, God has always preserved a remnant for his glory and for his name. And we are at a critical point in our nation. As one of our dear friends, Chad Conley, has said, everything that we hold dear is at stake this November. We're talking about life. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about the education of our children. We're talking about our relationship with Israel. We're talking about fiscal responsibility. And as you and I have talked in the past, these are not mere political hot potatoes. These are not mere litmus tests. These are spiritual issues. I was talking this morning with someone on the phone, and we are truly in a spiritual battle. And one of the tools that God has given us as his people is prayer and fasting. And I remember, you know, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, some of the disciples that were on the ground said, you know, we tried to help this man and his son, and why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, this kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. The Word of God is filled with examples of those who prayed and fasted. The history of our nation is filled with examples of those who prayed and fasted. Church history is filled with those examples. And really what we've tried to do in this article is just mention some of those and charge and challenge God's people. At a time like this, it is imperative God's people get serious. We need to be laser focused on the spiritual disciplines, the spiritual tools that are needed. Again, I think of Psalm 85:6. Wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The goal, the purpose is God's glory. And oh, my heart is heavy that we would return to that place, that we would see God, and to use your phrase, restore a level of righteousness in our nation so that we may rejoice in him once again.
Well, there are at least 15 occasions in the Bible that we read about of people or people groups that fasted before the Lord. And you also mentioned in your article about during the Civil War, that America prayed and fasted. Are there other times, the Civil War, other times in history that you know of that prayer and fasting were used?
You know, as we mentioned in the article again, you know, England fasted when they were threatened with the invasion that was coming from the Spanish Armada. How about the Constitutional Congress? You know, they were having trouble coming to any agreement at all. They called for a day of national fasting and prayer. Abraham Lincoln called for a day of national fasting and praying. We are calling for that. I believe it's what, October 22nd, for God's people to unite in a day of fasting and praying, getting really, we're talking about sacrificing and getting serious with God about the need of the hour.
Yes, you know, personally for me, most of the time that I have fasted, most of those times I had not planned to fast. I found myself, I was fasting before I even knew it. I had went long periods without eating. I was so intense in the spiritual battle and the spiritual need at that moment. Now, you mentioned that we're a needy nation. You've articulated some of the arenas. And then you mentioned that October 22nd, that we're calling for a national day of prayer and fasting. Do you really have hopes that Christians across America will pray and fast with us on October 22nd?
Well, you know, I think we have to, Brother Byron. And getting back to what you just said, yes, there have been times that I found myself so intensely in the spiritual warfare that I hadn't eaten in a long time. But also, there have been intentional, pointed times where we have said, okay, by God's grace, let's set aside this Tuesday. There was a period a couple of years ago, we were going through some deep waters, and God just burned my heart. And so every single Tuesday, we set aside a time of, on Tuesdays, we're going to fast and pray. I've been involved with several prayer advances, and we have on occasion set aside 3 days for fasting and praying. So I think there needs to be, yes, as we're walking with the Lord, as we're growing in our understanding of His Word and His truth, that some of these things just are a natural outpouring of that. But I think there needs to be an intentional focus. And I would contend that one of the reasons that the American church is so weak is we have been too casual and too apathetic and too indifferent and not intentional enough at following the patterns of Scripture and setting aside these concentrated times.
Well, no doubt about that. I'm going to allow Brother Gordon Dixon to make a comment and to ask you a question about the subject of prayer and fasting for a needy nation.
So when Jesus talked about fasting, how did he describe it, and what did he say about that for believers?
Well, you know, there in Matthew 6, he didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. It was his assumption. As a matter of fact, when the Pharisees asked, how come your disciples don't fast? He said, well, they have the bridegroom with them. They don't need to fast now. But when I go away, they will. And so there was an assumption on his part that God's people would see this pattern, again, that we see in the Old Testament. And boy, we come to the New Testament church. How many times in the book of Acts do we see the seriousness of that? The Apostle Paul talked about fastings often. So it was a habit. I had someone challenge me a couple of years ago, and they said, well, fasting is not for the New Testament church. You know, my response was, okay, what about all these examples we have in the New Testament? And again, they just sort of sloughed that off. But I believe with all my heart, God has not changed. The necessity of us following the pattern of Christ and the early church and the apostles, I think, is there for our learning and for us to follow their illustration and their example.
One of my favorite stories is also in the article about James McGrady. Now, James McGrady was an evangelist on the Kentucky and the Kentucky Pioneer area. And they said about James McGrady that his great claim to fame was he was so ugly that he drew attention to himself. How would you like to have people say that about you? But McGrady asked his three churches that he pastored, and I think is an itinerant, he asked them to set aside the third Saturday of each month to pray and fast and to ask the Lord for an outpouring of his spirit, as you would see described in Zechariah 12 and 13. And also when Jesus said, shall he not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And after a year of that, so, you know, put it together, 12, maybe 13 Saturdays, they fasted that third Saturday of each month, and then the Lord granted a revival on his people. Mm-hmm. Would it be worth it to us to give 12 or 13 Saturdays that way to prayer and fasting, trusting the Lord to do the same kind of work in our day? My answer is absolutely it would be worth it.
Yes, amen. You know, several years ago here at Mount Moriah, we determined that once a quarter, we were going to have Saturday night cottage prayer meetings. And I encouraged, you know, some people if they were able to also fast. But I've got to tell you, I just heard a testimony, every single Lord's Day that followed those Saturday night cottage prayer meetings, we had some incredible demonstration of God's presence and God's power in our services. I mean, from visitors to the response to the preaching, we actually had one in a host home. The husband had said, you know, we'll host a cottage prayer meeting. We went there. We had a little devotion, little fellowship time. We divided up the men and the women to pray. And this lady looked at my wife in her home on cottage prayer meeting night and said, I need to be saved.
Wow.
And she actually got saved at this cottage prayer meeting. And one of the things I was challenged with this week is to go back to that. Even here at Mount Moriah, we're about to celebrate 174 years of God's faithfulness this weekend. And as I read through the history, there have been times that they had dedicated prayer meetings through the years. And we're going to go back to that here at Mount Moriah, because I believe the church marches forward on her knees. And we have not taken that challenge seriously enough in our day, and here in 2024, we must get back to the fervency of obedience to that example that God gave.
Well, this has been a wonderful interview. I appreciate each of you men so much. Brother Gordon, you've done a wonderful job editing the magazine. And Pastor Alvis, this article that you have written for us, I hope that and pray that God will use this, that many Americans and even folks around the world will see the great need of putting God first, because really that's what fasting is all about, is putting God in his rightful place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. As we close the interview, Pastor Alvis, would you please lead us in prayer?
Yes, sir. Once again, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before the very throne room of the God of the universe. And you've instructed us to come boldly, not brashly, but boldly. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the examples throughout Scripture of fasting and praying. And Lord, we want to be men of God who follow that instruction appropriately and fervently. We pray your hand of blessing as we continue to move forward with the magazine, and with the impact of it upon our nation for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. And for our listeners, we hope that you will take the opportunity to get the God Bless America magazine. It's available, if no other way, go to godandcountry.me. And you can find out more about the magazine there. Gentlemen, thanks again for joining us today.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you.